Psalms 40. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, starting verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. Now I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. And I have not hid my righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and the truth from the great congregation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for your goodness and your kindness and your wonderful grace. Thank you for the wonderful love of God that brought unto us salvation through thy wonderful Son. Once again this morning, Father, this preacher certainly needs your help, your guidance, and I just need everything from you, Father. And I pray for us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning that we'll hear from you, and Lord, that you'll be able to work on our hearts, do whatever is necessary in each and every one of our lives, and we'll thank and praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Renus, give me a little more up there. You know, usually on this day, just about every year, I try to say something about something that's going on tonight so I can shame the men so they'll be at church tonight and instead of watching the Super Bowl. You remember, I just do that about every year. I mean, some of them say, well, I wouldn't even thought of that. I know it, but somebody might. And so I always try to shame them, you know, and say, you know, you ought to be in church and instead in Super Bowl. You know, we always try to do that. So if you do stay home, you'll be guilty. I mean, you'll feel guilty. Amen, you know. I was thinking that I heard this week $5 billion is being bet on the Super Bowl this year. $5 billion. You know how much $1 billion is? Do you know you'd have... none of you have it? Did you know you would have to stack dollar bills 125 miles high to get $1 billion? That's true. I really can't imagine that. Did you know you'd have to let a propeller on an airplane set and spin 2,400 times a minute and it would run for a year and you still wouldn't have a billion revolutions? $5 billion is being bet on the Super Bowl. Amazing, isn't it? So if you was getting ready to bet anything, you put it in the offering before you leave. Amen. You know, the shame of this is, and I don't know why I'm on this, just me, but shame of it is, a few years back, Pastor Jerry knows, I think maybe he was with me, I can't remember, but a few years back, this actually happened. We was visiting in a home on a Saturday, no it wasn't, it was on a Thursday night visitation. We went into this home, we was talking to the man there and trying to get him to come to church on Sunday. And he said to us, he said, that is Super Bowl Sunday. I said, I know, but the Super Bowl's not till the night, come Sunday morning. Oh, no, he said, I start early in the morning. He said, I got to get ready for all this, and I work at that thing all day long. He said, I can't wait till Super Bowl. And so he didn't come to church. And the reason I'm saying all this is this, that his life now is in shambles. I mean shambles. Now, I don't know that if he had come to church that one morning, didn't watch it, Super Bowl, had been there, I don't know, but I'm just simply saying that was the desire of his life. And that's what he would rather do than come to church. And then his whole family broke apart. His life is in shambles. It's a mess. And I just got to thinking, though, I just wonder, wouldn't it have been better maybe to come to church? Amen. So anyway, folks, this is Super Bowl Sunday. Just be here, be faithful. Amen. Amen, sure. I know you will. Psalms 40. We're going to preach from this psalm this morning. David, if you look at this and you look at this psalm and you look at his life and you look what he says in this verses of scripture that I read to you, you'll find that David is looking back and thanking God for past deliverances, how God has delivered him. And I think I've expressed it, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I've expressed it in my life. I look back on and I think about what God has done for me, and it's almost amazing. I really cannot get over it. And I look back and I think about where my life would be without Jesus Christ and what it would be if I had not gotten saved, and where my family today would be is just beyond comprehension. See, I don't know where they would be, and I don't know where I would be, but thank God I can look back like David did in the psalm here and say, thank God for what you did for me. Thank God for delivering me. Thank God for saving me. And not only that, in this psalm, David also recognizes the fact that he needs God's continual help for the future. And I certainly can confess to that. I need his everyday help. I need it now. I need it tomorrow. I need it next week. I need it every day of my life. I recognize the fact that without Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. And David here is very thankful for what God did for him in the past, but he's also very thankful for what God is going to do for him in the future and how he's going to help him and watch over him. And so that is something that I think is just a good principle from the Word of God, that we need to never forget what God has done for us. Folk, don't ever forget your salvation. Don't ever forget how God saved you and brought you into the family of God. Don't ever forget how he brought you out of the miry pit and set your feet upon a rock. Don't ever forget that. And then also remember that he's the same God that did that will also in the future be your stay, be your help, be your strength. He's still our God. And then so the first four verses tell us about God's goodness and David's gratitude for what God had done for him. And first he just simply tells it. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Let me say to you that anybody that waits on God never waits in vain. God will always answer. If you wait on God, don't get tired of waiting on God, because God never is, God's never off time. God's always right, always perfect, just right. And David said he waited on the Lord. You know, sometimes we can wait and really not expect God to do anything. I don't know whether you've ever been there or not, but sometimes our waiting is without expectation. When we wait on God, we ought to always expect God to do something and know that he will do something. If we're willing to look to him and ask of him, God will do something for us. Amen? And we need to expect. As we wait on God, we need to do so with expectation. Sometimes we wait, and it's kind of a careless type waiting. We wait, and we really are not really concerned whether God does anything or not. There needs to be something in our heart that desires the things of God and what we want God to do for us, and really care about it, be concerned about it. David said here, he was patiently waiting for the Lord, and he expected God to answer him. And I say to you, that's the kind of God we got, folks. And God will answer us if we patiently wait on the Lord, as David did here, and he expected him to answer him, and he said he did. He inclined his ear unto me, and he heard my cry, he said. And that's the way God does. Over in Psalms 50, the verse number 15, Asaph, the psalmist, was saying, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Folks, there's no doubt that we ought to call upon God at all times and expect from God from day to day. But folks, don't you know that God rejoices in doing something for us when we're in trouble? Don't you know that God wants to do something for you when you're at the very bottom? Don't you know that when only God himself can do something, that that's when he works the very best in our life, because we recognize it couldn't have been done any other way except from him? And that's what he was saying here. You call upon me in the day of trouble, and God says, I will deliver thee, and then thou shalt glorify me. And again, this morning, I want to encourage you. as David was throughout this psalm, as Asaph there in chapter 50, the psalmist, the thing is, when God's done something for you, glorify Him. Let people know what God's done for you. I'm saying this hopefully kindly, but folks, we need to be a people who just simply thank God all the time for what He's done for us. And be grateful for what He's done. And not be afraid to tell other people what God's done for you. That's what David did here. And you'll find that throughout the Psalms, as you find him glorifying God and thanking God for what God did. And only God could do it, you see. Man couldn't do it. And so we find that's exactly what happened here in this Psalm, in Psalm number 40. It's exactly what happened. David was crying unto God, and at the same time God answered, and at the same time he glorified God for answering and gave God all the glory for it. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he's near. You know, we need to seek God. You know, there's people maybe out here this morning who's got trouble in their lives, heartaches in their life. Maybe there's folk unsaved here this morning. You need to seek him now. You ought not to wait. If you're unsaved here this morning, you need to seek God Almighty right now. You need to come to Him now. If you're not saved today, you need this morning come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen? You need to not put that thing off. See, we don't know how much time we got. So you need to do that, you see. And so we need to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while he is near. And then over at Romans, of course, that wonderful verse of Scripture in chapter 10 of Romans, where he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you realize this morning, if you're here this morning unsaved, do you realize if you'll by faith turn to the Lord, call upon Him, trust Him as your Savior, did you know He will save you? I mean, that's not a maybe so thing. That's not something that, well, maybe God would do it, maybe God wouldn't do it. No, He will. Just simple faith, calling upon God, the Bible says He'll save you. Isn't that marvelous? It's a wonderful thing. So should you be here this morning unsaved, greatest thing you could do this morning, call upon the Lord Jesus this morning, ask Him to save you, and the Bible says He'll save you, you see. God's waiting, you see, to answer that call. And if you notice the condition that David was in, the Bible says in verse number 2 that he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now the Bible describes here David's condition. He was in a pit of miry clay. And the Bible even calls it a horrible pit. Horrible there in the Bible speaks of a Russian destruction. I mean, it was a horrible place to be. The pit he's talking about here is like being in a cistern or a dungeon or a well, all hemmed in. Can you imagine being down in the bottom of a well or bottom of a cistern, and the bottom of that cistern is full of murky mud? And that's where you're at. Look at your life like that, because that's the way God looks at it. And David understood that he was in the bottom. He was in a miry clay. He wasn't in clay that was hard, like around here sometimes when the sun shines and there's clay ground around here and it's very hard. But he's talking about muddy clay. And all of you have been around Indiana enough, you know what miry clay is. You know how it is. And David said that's the kind of place, old sticky mud, miry clay, pit, well, cistern, that's where I was at, and God reached down and pulled me up out of it. Now we've got to understand that's where we was at before we saved. Amen? That's sometimes where we're at when in our Christian lives. We just get ourselves in such a mess, we're just down in the old miry clay. Amen? God wants to lift you out of that. God doesn't want you to remain down there. God wants you to be lifted up. He wants you to get your feet back up on that rock, see. And He wants to establish your going, you see. Sometimes it's a rude awakening when we realize our condition. But you know, one of the greatest things you can do, you and I can do, is realize how God sees us. And realize the condition we're in. A person unsaved needs to realize that, needs to understand that. Why does a preacher get up and talk about people's unsaved? Why does he tell you try to come to Christ? I'm trying to make you realize you're in a condition, you're outside of God, without salvation, you're going to hell. You need to be lifted up. You need to be saved. Amen? And it's an awakening thing sometimes to just realize what kind of condition it is. We need to look our life over as Christians and say, where am I spiritually? Where am I scripturally? Where am I at? And we need to look our life over and say, God, why am I down here in this miry pit of mud and clay? What am I doing down here? You want me up here on this rock, you see. And we need to do that. So it's a rude awakening. And it's very hard sometimes for God to get to us get over to us the condition we're in. But that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to get over to you. If you're a lost person, he wants to get over to you. You need to be saved. See, you're lost. You need to be saved, you see. If you're a Christian backslidden away from the things of God, you need to get your life back straightened out with God. Amen? You need to do that. You need to be lifted up, you see. But the worst part about it is this. It's very sad when we are content to remain in that condition. Now, that's sad business. Person lost and just wants to remain that way. Just wants to face God without Christ, and all they've got facing them is an eternal hell. That's all there is to it. But just want to decide, just want to just leave, stay there, you know, not move, not get saved. Just want to stay there, like the condition they're in. Don't want to get out of it. That's a horrible thing. And then, of course, it's also horrible if we're God's children. We want to remain in a backslidden condition. That's bad. That's bad business. God wants us to look at ourselves, see ourselves, take a look at us and examine ourselves and see what we are, see where we are and say, God, I shouldn't be here. I need to be back on that rock. I need to be up there where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. You see, so it's enough. Yes, it's good that you see where you're at, but folks, don't be content to live there. Don't stay there, you see. David cried out for help, and that's the only thing folk can do. I'm saying to you, you know, he said the Lord heard me, said he inclined my ear to me, he heard my cry. David cried out for help, folks, and God answered him. Do you think God would do the same thing for you today? You suppose it's the same God that's there today, that's always been throughout all eternity? Don't you think he uses the same principles that he's been using all along? Don't you think if he heard David's cry, he'd hear yours? Amen. If you're an unsaved person here this morning, don't you think that God would save you this morning just like he saved multitudes of others? Why, sure he would. That's what he wants to do. You see, that's his whole purpose in calling you, so you'll be saved, you see. Don't you think if you're a backslidden Christian here, do you think he's up there mocking you and glad that you're in that condition? Don't you think if you cried to him, he'd reach down and lift you up? Don't you think he'd help you? Well, sure he would. You see, that's what he wants to do. You see, that's like old Jonah. He cried from the belly of the whale. Amen. And God heard his cry, and God brought him up out of there. Amen. That's what David was doing here. David's down over that miry pit. I mean, it was a mess. And God, he cried to God, and God just lifted him up, you see. So what'd he do? Well, he got exchanged. He exchanged the pit for a rock. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be on a rock any day. You see, this rock that's spoken of in the Bible is not talking about some little old rock you're standing on, teetering on. It's talking about a massive, big rock. I mean massive, big rock, and you're standing right in the center of it. Amen? You're not talking about a little pebble. You're not talking about a little rock that if you move wrong, it might move and shift. No, 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 no. That's not the rock that Jesus is. See, he don't shift. He don't move. I mean, you're standing on the rock, so you exchange that old pit and that old miry clay down there. You exchange that old slippery footing where you can't hardly move. I've been there. All of you guys have been there. Been out there in the mud sometimes. You can't even hardly stand up. You've been there. God says, get up on the rock. You don't have to worry about slipping and sliding, you see. You're out of that old clay, you see. Get back up on the rock. And that's what he says in verse number 2. He said, God brought me up. Do you know something? You keep struggling. When you're down in a old mud and mire, you keep struggling. The only thing you're going to do is go deeper. I mean, they tell me, I've never been in quicksand. Don't want to. But I've never been there. But I want to tell you that I'm told that if you just keep struggling in quicksand, you're just going to go deeper. That's the way sin is. You just keep struggling in your own power, trying to get out of there in your own power. You're not going to make it. No, 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 you're not going to make it. David said he heard, he called unto the Lord, and the Lord brought him up. See, you need the Lord to help you. Unsaved folk, you need the Lord to help you. You need the Lord to save you. Backslidden, if you're here backslidden in heart, you need the Lord to help you. You need the Lord to reach down and hold you up. Did you know his arm is long enough to reach into the deepest pit? Did you know that? I mean, you say, Brother Ross, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what kind of sin I'm in. You don't know what I've done. Don't make any difference, you see. His arm can reach to the very deepest pit. Amen? In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and it cannot save. You can't be anywhere God can't reach you. God can reach you anywhere. I don't care. You say, but I'm in the... You don't understand. I've just sinned and said, don't make any difference. God save you. God give you eternal life, you see. His arm is longer than your sin. Amen. Yes, it was. And folk here that's already saved can testify to that. You see, God reached down and saved us out of that old miry clay. I don't care who you are. You're just an old sinner. How good you think you was in the eyes of God, you're just an old sinner. That's the way I am. Old sinner, and God saved me and lifted me up out of that old miry clay, that old pit, you see. And that's what God wants to do for you. His arm is longer than your sins. No matter where you are, God can save your soul. Amen. And backslidden Christian, you say, Brother Ross, you keep talking about backslidden Christians. You know, in a crowd this big, you want to tell me everybody is perfectly right with God? Oh, I doubt that. Oh, I doubt that. I believe with all of my heart there's Christians here that we need to look to the Lord. And we need to say, God, help me. Amen. So will he do it for you too? Will he lift you up? Yes, he will. His arm's longer than any of your sin ever has been. You see, he wants to help you. And we notice also that his deliverance is complete. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, he says, who delivered us from so great a death. Listen, he did, didn't he? He delivered us from so great a death. And he says, and doth deliver. And he goes on. Not only did he deliver, but he continues to deliver. And he says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He's not going to finish. He's not going to quit. He's going to, in the end, deliver us and place us into heaven with him. That's a promise of God. He's not going to quit on any of us. He's delivered us from sins. Thank God for that. Do you know he delivered you from your sin when you got saved? Do you know that he delivered you from the penalty of sin? Did you know that you don't have to go to hell? You don't have to suffer for your sins because of what Jesus Christ did? Isn't that wonderful? Did you know also the power is there? He also delivered from the power of sin? Oh, you say, Brother Ross, power of sin is great. I know, but Jesus already died for that. His power is there, not to sin. Is that right? Sure it is. That's why he continually delivers. And not only that, he's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. I mean, one of these days he's going to lift us off of here. He's going to take us home to be with him, and there'll be no sin in heaven whatsoever. I mean, the presence of sin won't even be there. God has already promised to do that. He's going to do that for us. Thank God for that, you see. Listen to this verse of scripture, and I'm going to kind of insert in there, but listen to what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, that's present, hath everlasting life. When you get saved, you've got it. Now, folks, listen, that's presence. That's right now. When you get saved, you've got eternal life, okay? And then he says, and shall not come into condemnation. That's future. You'll never have to face the condemnation of the devil of your sin. Why? Because Jesus paid for it. That's future. All out in all eternity future, God has already taken care of eternity future. He's taken care of your future. All right? And then he says, but is past from death unto life. That's in the past. In other words, when you got saved, you passed from death unto life. Folks, you remember that story. I may have used it before. You remember that story? That missionary was riding home to his wife, and she was in America, and he was overseas somewhere on a mission field. And he was dying. He wanted to write a letter to his wife, the last letter he would ever write. And he said, honey, he said, I'm about ready to pass from life to death. And he told the one that was writing for him, said, you scratch that out. No, he said, I'm wrong. He said, scratch that out. He said, don't write that. He said, tell her I'm about ready to pass from death unto life. That's the way it is. Amen. Folks, this old thing down here is death. Amen. These old bodies are dying. I mean, it's a mess. But you know what? We have life in Christ. We're going to pass from this. We're going to pass on into heaven. And future's taken care of. All of that's all taken care of when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You just can't get it any better than that, you see. And then in verse number 3, he says this, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, I want to say something to you, folks. When God saves a man, God puts a new song in his mouth. You see, those who he lifts up and puts on the solid rock, he puts a new song in their mouth. You want to know something? Since I got saved, I don't go around singing the old worldly songs I used to. I'm just going to use an illustration. I don't never sing them anymore. I mean, everybody's happy when I don't sing, period. But I don't sing them anymore. I want to tell you, when I sing about the Lord. You probably won't hear me too much, but I sing. I get out in my barn and sing. Donna's always happy about that. But I sing. I get out in my garage. If I work out in my garage in my little workshop there, I sing. I like to sing about the Lord. He put a new song in my heart. He got something to sing about. You know, in all seriousness now, I just want to say that. I want to say kindly, but I want you to listen to me. See, there oughtn't to be any problem in any of the young people's lives of wanting rock music, because that just shows the heart's not right. That's all it shows. I mean, it's evidence that the heart is not right. Because when you get saved and are put on the rock, you got a new song in your mouth. I mean, you want to hear the old rock music? You see, we ought to even have a battle around here, and I don't think we do. I don't know, but I ain't going to have a battle around here over rock music. It's just out. And anybody that wanted in has got a problem with their heart. Amen. That's why I don't want contemporary songs around here. You may not agree with that, but I'm looking to the future of this church. I want the good old faithful, solid hymns of the faith that just praise God and honor Him, that are well tested. That's what I want. Amen. So I'm simply saying He put a new song in my heart. And I'm sure if you got saved, He put a new song in your heart. It's more than just the singing. I realize that. It's more than that. It's deep. It's what comes from within the heart. I understand all of that. But let me say to you, He put a new song in my heart when I got saved. And He did yours too if you got saved. Amen? Or if you're not backslidden. Amen. Amen. Backslidden people go back to the old ways. Sure they do. They go back to the old things. They desire the old things, like the Egyptians want to go back to the leeks and garlics and the onions. They want to go back. Why? Because they're all backslidden away from God. See? Now, so He put a new song in my heart. He put a song of deliverance in my heart. He put a song of forgiveness in my heart. He put a song of praise in my heart. Praising God for what God did for me. He put that song in my heart. Let me say something to you. The sinner knows nothing about this song. They don't know anything about it. They can't sing it. They have the slightest idea what people's talking about. When you talk about you got a new song in your heart, they don't even know what you're talking about. You see, they can't sing it because they don't understand it. Look at verse 3, and here's what he says. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know what he says here? You know what? A man gets converted, the change should be visible. Now listen to me. The change ought to be visible when a person gets saved, because he says, many shall see it. Why in the world would we want to get saved and live like the devil? It don't make sense. No, David said, when you set my feet upon a rock and you put a new song in my heart, said, many's going to see that in my life because I'm going to be different. Sure. Amen. So you don't think the world sees what we do as Christians? You don't think the world sees that, folks? You know the world sees it. I know the world sees it. The world's looking constantly. And David said, boy, he said, they're going to see something different. He says, and you know what that'll cause them to do? That'll cause them to fear the Lord and trust in God. And you know that's what witnessing is all about. It's what being a right kind of Christian is all about, so that other people around you will see that. And they'll begin to fear God also, and they'll desire what you have within you. And you'll be able to tell them that it's Christ that's in you, that Christ that makes a difference, you see. And he tells us there in verse number 4. He said, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He said, many, O God, my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I want you to notice also, you notice in David there in verse number 4 and verse number 5, he couldn't get over praising God for all God had done. And he said, I want to tell you, God, if I went about to count all of them, it'd be numberless. I couldn't number them. It'd be impossible for me to number them. Now, I've mentioned this quite a lot of times, that folks, we need to get back to remembering what God has done for us instead of remembering all those little things that we're displeased about. We need to get a hold of our hearts and say, us count all of those things God has done for us. You won't through the day be able to complain one time if you will begin to count all that God has done for you and me. But I want to tell you, you look back on your life and you look on a daily basis and all that God has done from the time you get up of a morning to the time you go to bed of a night is astounding. Now, one or two things we can do. We can look at those things that did not please us and get our eyes and minds on those and concentrate on those. Or we can get our mind on the things what God done and remember those. And you'll find out they're an enormous amount. David said they're numberless. You couldn't number them. Amen. So we find then also in verse number 6 and 7, he says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears have thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, he says. And he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You know what he's wanting us to do is just simply surrender our whole heart unto him. You see, we look around and we say, well, I'll sacrifice for God. I'll do this as a sacrifice, or I'll give this as a sacrifice. You know what God wants most of all is your heart. When he's got your heart, did you know he's got your billfold? Did you know when he has your heart, he has your hands? When he has your heart, he has your feet. He has your head, he has your mind, if he's got your heart. That's what God wants. God wants your heart surrendered unto him this morning. You don't have to worry about the other things because they'll just go along with it. Out of the heart cometh the issues of life. Amen? You get the heart right and you'll find out you won't have any trouble with these other things because it'll just come along naturally. Amen? Then you say, Brother Ross, what does God want me to do with it then? Look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Simply preach the Word of God to people. Just take the Bible, the Word of God. I'm amazed, and I'm really amazed at this, and I know part of it's the time we live in because of the backslidden condition of many of our churches in America. I understand this. But just the other day, it was reminded, brought to my mind again when I was talking to an individual. He was a Christian, born again. And we was talking about, and I was asking him in his church, I said, are you seeing people saved? And, well, he said, we haven't for a while. And I said, so I could do this because I know him pretty well. And I said, sir, let me ask you something, brother. I said, how long has it been since you've been out soul winning? How long has it been since you sat down? And this man used to do this. How long has it been since you've taken the Bible and sat down with somebody and showed somebody how to be saved? You know what he did? He didn't answer me. He just got quiet. And I said, the problem is this. The church is not designed to gather together to have a Bible study. Oh, that's wonderful for us to take the Bible, and that's what I'm supposed to do is preach the Bible, but that's not the end of it. The end of it is for us to preach the Bible so we'll take that Bible and live it. And David said, after God had done for him, took him out of the miry pit, out of the clay, set his feet upon a rock, and he began to praise God for it. He said, one of the things is that I've preached to all the congregation. He said, I'm not going to keep still. I'm going to tell people what God has done for me. Now, here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm not saying this to shame anyone. I'm just saying to you, the purpose of salvation after we get saved is to tell people how to be saved so they'll get saved. That's the purpose. And I realize it's a shame to me because anymore when I begin to teach about that and preach about that, things get quiet and people won't respond. But I want to tell you something. We're backslidden if we're not out there teaching people how to be saved. That's the whole purpose of it all. That's why God left us here. That's why Blessed Hope Baptist Church exists today, so that people would get saved. And the day we quit witnessing and telling people how to be saved is a day when God will write Ichabod over this church. Oh, it'll still exist, but it will not be functioning as God intended for it to function. And you and I, each one of us, must be a constant witness for Jesus Christ. If we are saved, we must get out there and get that gospel out. And listen to me, don't anyone sit there and say it's not my responsibility. You don't find that in the Bible. You've sold yourself a line that you can't do it or are unwilling to do it, and that's a lie. God wants you to give the gospel to those who need the gospel. No matter who you are, God expects you to do it and expects me to do it. Amen? There is still people out there that need to be saved. And you know what? There's people out there who want to get saved. Amen? So I'm saying to you, if God has done that for you, if God has reached down out of that miry pit and out of that old murky clay and lifted you up and set your feet on a rock and established your goings, he said, I didn't say much about that, but he establishes our goings, puts a new song in our mouth and establishes our goings. If God's done that for you, what is the responsibility then for us to do? Tell others. Just tell others. So I'm saying to you this morning, folks, don't let this pass by unheeded. This is a warning from your preacher. Let me just say this, and I'll again say it in kindness. If you're not going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, why do you want to remain alive? What good are you to God's work? You're just existing. If I'm not going to preach the gospel, if I'm going to tell people how to be saved, and God will just take me home, because I'm not being any good. So I'm saying to you, what do we need to do? All of us as a people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church need to get a hold of this thing. We need to get out there and tell people how to be saved. Do it on a daily basis. Do it in the mail. Do it with a tract. Do it mouth to mouth. Go see a friend. Folks, there's people, everybody in this room have people that they know that no one else really knows that well. Everybody in here does. Don't tell me you don't. You do. And you can reach them. You can reach them. Amen. Just don't pay attention. It's all right. It's all right. They'll take care of Nancy, so don't pay attention. You can reach him, and it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to reach him. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm trying to say, listen, isn't this what God expects you to do? Sure it is. So if God's done something good for you, let's get out there and let's tell people about Christ. We always see people saved on a regular basis. We need to see that, you see. And the more seed you sow, the more we're going to see saved. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads, please. You're here this morning, you say, Brother Ross, I know if I died today, I know for sure, because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. I know I'm saved. And Brother Ross, I'm on my way to heaven if I die. Would you just raise your hand, please? Say, thank you very much. Thank you. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure about my salvation. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died today, I'm just really not sure whether I'd go to heaven or not. And I'm concerned about that. I want you to pray for me. Now, remember something. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do anything like that. All I'm going to do is pray. But you say, Brother Ross, I am concerned, and I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand, please? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. Just put it up. Thank you. Someone else? Thank you. Say, Brother Ross, I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Let's pray. Father, again, thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your wonderful grace, your mercy, your love for us. And once again, Lord, we want to thank you for the salvation you've given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, as a people of God, Lord, we want to be what you want us to be, and we know we fail you so often, but you're a wonderful God. Father, David cried unto you, and you heard him, and Lord, you do the same for us. You're just waiting for us, Lord, to cry unto you, and you'll incline your ear to us, and you'll hear, you'll answer, and we ask you for that. And so, Father, those that are not saved today know that they're just never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. We pray this will be the day when they're born into God's family. And we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.